I entitled the message today, Things That We Can Learn From a Mother. And certainly, there are many, many things that we can learn from a mother, but as I go through this particular passage this morning, I think of so many counsels that my mother gave to me, counsels which I would have been wise if I had followed from the beginning, rather than having to try it my own way first and then find out that indeed I would have been better off to have done it her way. And as I approach this passage this morning, it was a part of what I was doing in preparing for Old Testament survey. I read through all the books of the Old Testament in this last two-week period, all the way from Genesis through 2 Chronicles. And then within the next 2 weeks, I anticipate reading the rest of the way through the Old Testament. Some things really stood out to me that somehow, in spite of how many times I've read through the Old Testament, they never stood out to me before. And it would be an awful temptation for me to mention every one of those things this morning, but I'm going to try to concentrate on just what we have before us. It says in Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 to 26. Genesis 25, verses 19 to 26. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. Now, I just have to mention, isn't it curious that he waited till he was 40 years old to get married? We would almost consider that, you know, being pretty old to get married finally. But he decided for the first time to get married after the death of his mother. And it was after Sarah's death. Now, he was nearly 40 years old when Sarah died. And you have to consider, now, how old was Sarah when Abraham was, and Sarah gave birth to Isaac? Well, Sarah was 90. Abraham was already nearly 100 years old. And that means that Sarah lived to be pretty old herself. Now, at 40 years of age, finally, Isaac decides to marry, and he married Rebekah. And the Bible says in verse 21, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." Now, it does not tell us here how old Isaac was at that point. We're going to find that out later, okay? We're going to find out later how old he was, but just keep in mind, he was 40 years old when he got married, and now, sometime later, he started pleading with God for a child. And it says in verse 22, "And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord." Now, what she actually is asking here, if it's so that there is this great turmoil within me, why do I even want to live? That was her question. And it's an important question that she asked. Why would I even want to live? And so she went to inquire of the Lord. She asked God for the answer to her question of why do I even want to live? "And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb." Now, they were not identical twins. They were twins, but not identical. And it tells us, "And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. The name Esau means hairy. He was hairy. He had hair everywhere. He may not have had hair where he was supposed to. We don't know. But he had hair everywhere all over his body. And after that, his brother came out, his brother, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, which means supplanter. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Now, a score is 20 years. So how old was Isaac when he had children? 60 years of age. He got married when he was how old? 40 years of age. That means it was 20 years after he and Rebekah got married before they finally had a child. He was not only patient in waiting for the right woman that God had chosen for him, he was patient in waiting for the children that God was going to give him. He was 60 years old by the time his two children were born. Now, the next event follows immediately in our Bible, but it wasn't like when they were 3 years old. Years have passed, and it says in verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now let me just pause there for a moment. It's always amazing to me, but God puts something in a mother's heart that those of us that are men never understand. They always love the underdog. They always love the child that is the least capable of taking care of himself. And when the dad disciplines the child, the mom is always the one who says, okay, that's enough. When the man goes away to war, the woman is the one that always says, time for peace. And so there is that balance that God built into things. And Rebekah loved Jacob, who apparently, according to what we've read so far, was probably the less lovely of the children, the one that was the more defenseless, while his brother, who was a hunter. Now, I don't know about you, but I like hunting. I kind of understand Esau here. You know, I see a sign on a car, and it says, you know, I'd rather be fishing or something. And I go, phew, not me. You know, I don't know about you, but just leave those defenseless fish all alone, okay? I mean, there's nothing like hunting. When you go hunting, the animal that you're hunting may win. There's a chance. You see, I have a rifle, and so I want to go out and I want to go up against, a rhinoceros or something. I'll use an elephant gun against a mouse. I have nothing against this. One time I shot a Gila monster right down the throat, and there was nothing left but his four legs, and there was nothing to eat. So they said, you know, you shouldn't use such a big gun on a Gila monster. And I said, well, I want to make sure I shot him. The honest truth was I didn't go out to shoot him. He just happened to be in the way. I look at hunting and, you know, and they talk about sport fishing, and I say, what's sport about it? You throw a piece of carnada? Bait. In the water on a hook, and if a fish wants it, he eats it, and if he doesn't, he doesn't, and you sit there all day. And I have men tell me, oh, this is so much fun. Okay, what's fun about it? You go out there, and they say, yeah, it's peaceful and quiet. I guess that's why they don't invite me. They want to have peace and quiet. And they say, and our wives aren't here. It's a perfect way to get away, you know? I was listening to Huckabee last night on TV, and they asked his wife, you know, if she could name his two boats. And he said, yeah. When he was a Baptist pastor, his boat was named Visitation. And when anybody called from the church, she said, he's on visitation. And when he became governor of the state of Arkansas, he bought another boat and he named it State Business, so that when anybody called and asked where he was, they said he's out on state business. And so nobody ever questioned what he was doing, but he was fishing, and I guess he enjoyed that. My marvel, okay, so if a man enjoys that, great, you know, but to me, I like Esau. He's the kind of guy that I'd like, you know. Let's go hunting, let's go hunt, let's go deer hunting, venison. And you know, I could count on one hand the number of deer that I ever shot, but I could not keep count of how many deer got away, okay? More of them got away than I ever shot. But there was something about actually going out there, me against the wild animal. And that's what intrigued Esau, and his father loved him. Now, Jacob, he's the scrawny little kid. He wasn't like his brother at all. Didn't look like him. Didn't sound like him. He preferred to be in the kitchen with his mother. He's the kind of guy that just wanted to be at home and just enjoy life at home. So you have two different boys. Now, it's described them to us for a reason, because there are other things about their character that we should understand as well. And the first glimpse at the character of Esau and Jacob, we see as we continue in Genesis 25 at verse 29. And Jacob sawed pottage, that is, he cooked. He went in and he cooked some beans. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, by the way, the word faint there just means he was tired. Yeah, he was tired. He'd been out hunting all day. And he came home now, and he's tired. Says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, the red beans, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Now, Edom means red. You remember that when he was born, the Bible said that he was red. He was red hair, and he had a lot of red hair all over his body. He was hairy, and they named him Hairy, which was Esau, Hairy. Now they say he's also called Red, and he liked red beans. So he wanted to eat this red beans that Jacob had made. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Well, let me tell you something. In the first place, he wasn't at the point of death. It doesn't tell me in my Bible that he came dragging himself in. It doesn't tell me in my Bible that he was so hungry that and so thirsty that he was about ready to die. What it tells me is that he was tired, not at the point of death. You ever known anybody that can exaggerate every situation? Who, you know, they're tired and, boy, I'm about ready to die. They're never tired. They're sick and tired. And he comes in and he's ready to die, he says. I'm just at the point of death, and you're talking to me about my birthright. Well, let me tell you something. In the first place, it tells me that Jacob had his mind set on the right things. He wasn't concerned about money. He was concerned about that which was spiritual, because the birthright didn't have any money attached to it. The birthright was the right of the male who was first born in a family to be the spiritual guidance of the family, to be that one who would lead his family, to be that one who would care for the spiritual welfare of his family, to pray for them, to be a priest to his own family. And Esau didn't care about this, but Jacob did. And Jacob set his heart on the right thing. He said, let me have the birthright, and then I'll give you this material stuff. Let me tell you something. The person who is willing to trade spiritual benefits for material benefits will end up not having either one. Did you know that? This whole idea here, I'll give up my rights in order to have money. You end up without money and you end up without rights either. You lose both. You cannot trade your birthright, what God gave you at birth, for material things. And the very fact that Esau would even consider it and that he would look at it and say, what do I care about this? I feel like dying. I feel like I'm so starved that I don't care anything about spiritual things. Just give me something to eat. Well, I think it was Benjamin Franklin said, those who would exchange material benefits for temporary security deserve neither security nor temporal benefits. He was willing to do that. I'll give up anything. Just give me the plate of beans. Now, folks, those beans didn't have the value that you could have considered worthy of exchanging for his birthright, but he did. And Jacob said, verse 33, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. No more discussion. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now here we have a real character flaw. And the character flaw was not even appreciating what he was given at birth by his parents. What he had that his mother and father conferred upon him at birth. His rights as the firstborn. He despised that. He was willing to sell it for a plate of lentils, not a very high price to give up all of your birthrights for. And he had his blessing stolen from him. Now, in the next part of the passage that I'd like to look at is over in Genesis chapter 27. This particular part of the passage doesn't tell us how old Isaac was. But how old was Isaac when Jacob and Esau were born? 60 years old. When we get over to Genesis chapter 27, Esau and Jacob are 40 years old, which makes Isaac how old? 100 years old. Just so that you keep track of the passage of time. Because we've only skipped a chapter, but suddenly we're talking about 40 years later. And Isaac now is a very old man. It says in verse 1, well, I have Spanish here, so let me turn over to English. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man." Now, by the way, if you have not yet understood when it said that Esau was hairy, it is now going to describe to you how hairy he really was. "My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which he had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob?" Which means supplanter. "For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright." Oh, just a moment. Did Jacob take it away, or did he give it away? Did Jacob just overpower him and force him to give up his birthright, or did he sell it at such a low price? And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. Do you understand that Esau knew that the reason why he lost the blessing was because he despised his birthright? He knew the reason for the whole thing, and he mentions it here. He ties these two events together. And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise and flee, thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him." I pause again and I say, hold it. Who was it that told him to do this? Whose counsel was Jacob following when he went in there and did what he did? I'm not trying to erase any of the guilt of Jacob in this situation, but his mother doesn't say that it's until he forget what I told you to do. She says, until Esau forgets what you did. Now, folks, I look for every way possible to excuse Rebekah. Certainly, she's the one who had started out by saying, why should I bother living if my two sons are going to be fighting, even in my womb? And she went and inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told her that Jacob would be the one that would be blessed and Esau not. She asked the Lord, and the Lord told her that Esau would serve Jacob. So she had a knowledge that this is the way it was supposed to be as far as God was concerned. So I also say she should have also trusted the Lord to take care of this matter. Amen? She didn't have to connive to try to get her way. She didn't have to try to pull strings and fool her own husband and keep secrets from her husband. She didn't have to do that, but she certainly didn't need to blame Jacob for what was her idea in the first place. And at the end here, that's what she did. Then it says, "Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" Now, her whole reasoning is, Esau wants to kill you. I'm going to send you away to Grandpa's house. You're going to be with Grandpa for a while until things blow over with your brother. And when things are better, I'll call for you. Let me tell you something. Jacob never again saw her, nor his father, for the rest of his life. Before Jacob could ever return, both his mother and his father were dead. That wasn't exactly her plan, but that's the way it worked out. Now she complicates it. She now goes to Isaac, and she tells Isaac a different story. Verse 46, and Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life. Again, why should I bother living? She's at the point where she's suicidal. She says, why should I even be alive? And she repeats that often quoted phrase that she had back there when the two boys were still in her womb. Why should I even live? Because of the daughters of Heth. What do the daughters of Heth have to do with it? Well, certainly, she has a good reason for being aware of them, the women that were in the land. These were the same kind of women that Abraham had seen and had decided to send and bring a wife for his son Isaac, and Rebekah was that woman. Now she says, let's make sure that Jacob doesn't marry any of these kind of women that there are around us. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as thee, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life be? What good shall my life do to me? She again repeats this idea that if things don't go right for Jacob, I don't have any good reason for living. Folks, this has absolutely nothing to do with the real problem. It was a real problem, but it wasn't as though Jacob was out looking for a woman right then. He wasn't. He wasn't even talking about getting married. But his mother decides that this is the way that she's going to approach Isaac. And so it says, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw, listen carefully, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that he blessed him and he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Now, can I tell you, Esau never appreciated anything that was spiritual. He sold his birthright because he didn't appreciate that which was spiritual. He lost his blessing because God cannot bless someone who only thinks about material things and despises that which is spiritual. In the end, he's a bitter man. Instead of accepting what God had for him, he's a man who said, no, if I can't have this, then I'm going to do every evil thing that I can think of, knowing that his father and his mother counseled against marrying a girl who was not of the same faith, a girl who was not one of them. He went out and married the first unbeliever that he could find. And then he took a whole bunch of women, it says. He married a whole bunch of women, and all of them Canaanites. All of them the kind of people that his father and his grandfather, his mother, his grandmother would have rejected. He took them all. And the reason that he did it was because they rejected them. He said that his reason, when he saw that Isaac wasn't pleased with this, then he went out and did it. If he had only listened to the counsel of his mother, if he had only listened to what they counseled him to do, the Bible tells us, as we have read, that Isaac loved Esau. Esau was his favorite son. And specifically, it tells us here that when Esau knew that his father Isaac didn't want him to do this, that's when he decided to do it. Do you know something today, folks? Despising the counsel of your mother and father, not just on Mother's Day, but every day of the year, is one of the surest ways that you can ruin your life. Esau became a bitter man, a man who lived to get even with his mother and father. And because of the fact that he despised mother and father and despised their counsel, despised his birthright, despised everything that was spiritual in his life, he also lost the blessing. And the Bible uses him as an example forever. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. No way to change his mind. No way to go back and undo what he did. He had already had a despising of everything that God wanted for him. And then when it came to material benefits, he wanted to undo it, but it was too late. My friend, the Bible admonishes us from one cover to the other of the Bible to listen to the counsel, the advice of our mothers and fathers. This is a good day in which to remember that. You may say, but my mother wasn't a very perfect mother. No, Jacob and Esau's mother wasn't a very perfect mother either. But her advice was still the right kind of advice. And if Esau had listened, his entire descendants would not have ended up being the kind of people that they were, a people that were bent on dishonoring God, dishonoring family, and showing their absolute rebellion against everything that God had ever purposed, when he knew that it pleased not his father. Then he went out and took a wife. Let's pray.